I want to welcome into the studio now Anita McGuill from Citizens Information. And good afternoon, Anita. We're going to talk about carers allowance, I believe, today.
Hello, John. Yes, we would. So we start with the carers allowance. The carers allowance is a payment to people on low incomes who are looking after a person who needs support because of age, disability or illness, and that includes mental illness as well. So to be entitled to carers allowance, you must be living with or in position to provide full-time care and attention to a person who needs the full-time care and who does not live in an institution. You have to be a habitual resident in the state, you have to be at least 18 years old, and not to be engaged in employment, self-employment, training or education courses outside of home for more than 15 hours a week. And again, even if you are engaged for those 15 hours a week, during your absence, adequate care for the person requiring full-time care and attention must be provided. The person you are caring for must be over the age of 16 and so incapacitated as to require full-time care and attention, or age under 16 and getting domiciliary care allowance. The person receiving care is regarded as required full-time care and attention when he or she is so incapacitated as to require continuing supervision in order to avoid danger to him or herself, or continual supervision and frequent assistance throughout the day in connection with normal bodily functions. So, for example, we're talking about getting dressed, brushing your hair, taking a shower, preparing a light meal for yourself. Okay, so looking after yourself. So basically, if the person won't be able to do those things, they would require someone to help and assist them with that. Also, the person has to be with that specific medical condition for at least 12 months. Okay, so it's not short-term solution as, for example, you've broken your legs and you need assistance now. It's more to do with 12 months and over. The carers allowance is a means-tested payment, and the means are involved at looking at your savings, at your income, if you are not single, so your partner's income as well is taken into consideration. If you are single, you're allowed to have €332.50 as a gross income. If you're a couple, it's the double of that, so €665. If you're on receipt of maintenance, that money is also taken into consideration as your means. You have to also take in account that the carers allowance is the taxable source. So, for example, if that's your only income, you won't be taxed. But if you are working those, let's say, 15 hours, your tax credits will be reduced by amount of your carers allowance. Again, if you are a married couple and your spouse is working, his or her tax credits may be reduced because of your carers allowance. Current rate for carers allowance is, if you are under age of 66 and caring for one person, it's €214 a week. If you're age 66 and over and caring for one person, it's €252 a week. So in order to apply for carers allowance, the department advises you to do it as soon as possible. And basically you fill in the form. The form is very detailed.
Yeah.
Okay, so because the department needs to see that you are satisfying the means test, that you actually are able and you have opportunity to look after someone else. So again, those 15 hours are looked at if, for example, you're employed. They also have a detailed medical report. Okay, and the part of it, actually, the part 10 is called the care report, and it has three sections. First section is completed by you and lets you describe the care needs of the person you're caring for. And that's your opportunity to basically show what type of help the person needs and what do you do to assist them. The boxes when you put your information is quite restrictive in a sense, but you can take a further sheet of paper and basically put as much information as you feel needed. Please bear in mind, when you apply for the carers allowance, the department doesn't know you. They don't know the person you're caring for. So they only can deal and look at the information you actually provide. So more information you explain, your daily life with that person, the more opportunity for you to have express yourself, express what your daily life is, the more it allows you to chance to get the payment quickly and for the department to make the decision accordingly. For the Section 2 would be signed, there's a request for the person who will require that full-time care to provide a statement or basically a signature stating that he or she requires full-time care. And the Section 3 then would be completed by the doctor, which again shows full report of the person who requires full-time care medical condition. As I said, the form is quite detailed, and if you need help, you're more than welcome to come to your citizens information and we will be able to assist you with that. Okay, but again, what I'm trying to say is that it is very important that you put as many details of the help you provide for that person as possible.
Now, if there's a case where there's two people need to be cared for.
So basically you fill in two forms. Yeah. On a part one, you will just submit your details. But basically what they will be looking then is the information about the second person you're caring for. And again, the part 10 with the report comes into play. So again, you will provide information about what type of help you're providing for that particular person. The person will sign the declaration that they will require help, or for example, if the person is not able to sign, it needs to be a witness then, but the witnessed person is not allowed to be a family member or the carer is himself or herself. So basically it could be signed by the doctor or
an independent
person. Yes. Okay, so basically it's two forms then, or you could be caring for three people. Okay, especially if it's, let's say, these are children. Okay, so therefore it's additional form each time.
Yeah, for each individual child or person.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So basically, as I said, you fill in the form, you submit the medical evidence, any additional information you may feel could help your claim, and you send it off and wait for the decision to happen. If you're not satisfied with the decision, you have a right to appeal. Okay, and that will be then decided by the appeals office. Again, if you would like to have assistance, we are more than welcome to do that.
And say somebody was delayed in getting the application off, would their payment be backdated, or would it just be from the day?
Usually they backdate from the day you have applied.
Therefore
the department's saying apply as soon as possible. Yeah. Okay, because they only can backdate it from the day you have applied. Again, if there was a genuine reason why you couldn't apply in straight away, then they may look at it, but there's no guarantee really.
Yeah.
Another thing I would like to explain, there is a possibility of half rate carers allowance. Okay, what that means is you still have to go through the same medical criteria. You still have to prove that you're looking or helping or assisting and providing care for somebody on a full-time basis. But, for example, you're already on a different social welfare payment. For example, if you are on a state pension contributory or you are receiving you are a qualified adult on a state pension contributory, you could be helping and assisting and providing care for example your spouse. So you could be getting the half rate carers allowance plus the qualified adult part on your spouse's partner.
Yeah.
So another payment like that would be deserted wives benefit, invalidity pension, illness benefit, and one parent family payment, as well as disability allowance. The payments which won't allow you to claim the half rate carers allowance would be, for example, job seekers benefit or job seekers allowance. Reason for that is that with the job seekers, you are saying that you are available and looking for full-time employment. With a carers allowance, the maximum of work you can do is 15 hours. So therefore, they don't match.
Yeah.
But, for example, if you are a qualified adult on your spouse's or partner's job seekers benefit or allowance, you are allowed to claim half-rate carers allowance.
Okay, very good. A few things there.
So there are a few things to consider. Another thing I just wanted to mention is the carer's benefit. Okay, so again, same criteria applies. You have to be providing full-time care. The difference is that it's non-means tested payment and you have to have enough BRSI to cover. You also would have to ask for carer's leave from your employment. So basically what that means is that you are could be allowed to, let's say, freeze your employment for up to 2 years if you're providing for full-time care for someone else. So you won't get paid from your employment, but you will not lose your employment as such. The position will be there for you if you decide to come back in within those 2 years. And again, this is a taxable source of income, and what they're looking at is that you again are available to look and provide full-time care for someone else. And again, you're either reducing your hours or leaving your employment in order to provide full-time care for someone else.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that if somebody is just getting paid carer's allowance, they won't be taxed. But do they still have to inform the revenue?
Yes, always, because the carer's allowance and the carer's benefit, they both are taxable sources.
Yeah.
Although you won't be paying the tax if that's your only income.
Yeah.
But if it's not, you will be taxed not on the social welfare payment, but on your other income. For example, if you are working in those 15 hours, you will be paying, you could be paying the tax on that income rather than social welfare.
So in
but yes, you will have to inform. Yes.
Yeah.
The department usually does that for you, but there's no harm to give them a call.
Yeah.
Another thing is just the care support grant. So it's an annual payment made to carers by Department of Employment Affairs and Social Protection. The scheme name was changed from the Respite Care Grant in 2016 to better reflect how the grant is used. So idea is, again, if you're providing care for somebody, okay, on a full-time basis, you could be entitled to this payment. It usually is paid automatically to people who are getting carer's allowance, carer's benefit or domiciliary care allowance. But it's not restrictive to that. For example, if you're age or 16 or over, you're a resident in Ireland and you're caring for someone full time. Okay, but for example, due to your means test of, let's say, your partner or spouse, you don't qualify for carer's allowance. You still could get the care support grant on an annual basis if you can show that you still provide full time care for someone else. Okay, so therefore, even if you don't get one of the payments, you still may qualify for this once off on a yearly basis.
And does a carer have to be residents in the same house as the person they're caring for?
Not necessarily, but you have to show that the link is there. For example, that you can be there contacted by phone if needs to be, or let's say alarm, for example. Yeah. There is a seniors alarm scheme, and when you can get dependent if needs to be. Okay, so something like that, but the link has to be there and you have to show that you can be there basically as soon as needed. Okay.
Yeah.
Again, when we talk about providing full-time care, the idea is that person requires full-time care, so therefore the idea would be there that you would be there for majority of the day or night, even if needs to be. Okay, so again, we're going back to the fact that the person who is requiring full-time care, they have a medical condition which for them requires that assistance which other person in their age wouldn't have to. So therefore, The link has to be there and you have to show it. You have to prove that, yes, by phone, and I can be there in 2 to 5 minutes to 10 minutes. And so there always is the link between the person you're providing care for and yourself.
Okay. Now, a lot of information there. But as you said, people are very welcome upstairs in the office.
Yes, we are open from Monday to Friday from 9:30 to 1:00 and then from 1:30 to 4:30. You can always find us on Tuesday mornings in Omni. However, the next week will be last one before Christmas because Santa is arriving to Omni Centre. So I have to kind of move away.
So Santa is moving you.
Yes, Santa is moving me. But he's more than welcome to. We are in Beaumont Hospital still on Thursdays, and we are in Edenmore on Friday mornings as well. So you can also give us a call on 0761 07 8190. So you're more than welcome to. If you have any questions, we're happy to answer them.
Okay, Anita, thanks very much for coming in to us, and
thank you for having me.
We will urge people to drop in to Citizens Information if they have any queries, or telephone 0761 07 8190.
Great.
Okay, thank you, Anita, and we'll be talking to Citizens Information again next week, same time as we do every week.